So thank you, Mary Sue, for reading that scripture today that everybody dreads because it has all of those biblical names that are so challenging. But you see, it wasn't that bad. She did awesome. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Right? Yeah. But would you all please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, O God, be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So you might be wondering why we are hearing a scripture today from the book of Numbers. Because we don't often read from that biblical book, from the Old Testament. Well, if you recall, the worship series that we're in right now is called I See You. And last week, we saw the importance of listening to the voices on the margins when we heard about the blind man, Bartimaeus, on the side of the road. And then so today, building on that lesson of listening, we are learning from scripture that we must also act and speak up in situations. So let me share some more background to the scripture that Mary Sue read so well. So the book of Numbers, remember, is the fourth book in the Bible. And it brings forward the story of the Israelites, of God's chosen people who have been who have done the Exodus, left Egypt, left slavery behind, and they're following Moses. Now, the book of Numbers begins as the people of Israel are ending this journey, this one-year stay on Mount Sinai, and they're heading into the wilderness on their way to the land that God promised back to Abraham. So throughout the book of Numbers, the people continue to rebel in the wilderness. They're following along, but they're not following the ways of God always. So their rebellions continue to pile up and pile up and pile up, one on top of another, becoming worse and worse along the way. So there's a contrast here in the scriptures between Israel's rebellion and then God's faithfulness to these people. And that's why these stories are so important, and why these stories have been passed down from generation to generation. These stories are a reminder for us that God will always remain faithful. But God will also allow God's people to rebel and face the consequences of those rebellions, of their reactions, of our own actions. So the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, 40 is a very biblical number. We hear it time and again, like in the New Testament, Jesus went to pray and left in the wilderness for 40 days. Lent is 40 days. So why 40 years here in the wilderness? Well, it's because it's to signal that one generation has passed and now another is coming up. So it's a generational kind of number. So the ones who started out in the wilderness following Moses, they've died off. And so now the next generation are the ones who are prepared to receive the promised land. So this is where we find the five daughters: Mahlah, Noah, Koglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. Yes. Daughters of Zelophehad. See, Mary Sue does a better job than I do pronouncing. I have all these spelled out, you know, phonetically for me. So their father has died, leaving no sons, as Mary Beers taught to us, and five daughters. And at this time, as Mary taught, in ancient Israel, it's a largely patriarchal society. So the issue at hand is this land that they are going to inherit. And power and inheritance was the domain of men. So the daughters are facing the reality that they could be deprived of any means to support themselves. Remember that the widows and the unmarried daughters, they would be reduced to poverty and maybe even slavery or prostitution. So this is truly a do or die situation for these five daughters. They're aware of God's relationship with Israel and knew that God's relationship was with the whole community, the men and the women, meaning their family was definitely entitled to share in God's gift of this new promised land. They knew that even the descendants of the likes of Korah would be given land. Now, Korah, you see in Numbers, if you read that scripture, he led a revolt against Moses. He tried to up and take out Moses and lead the way, but he didn't win. He, along with his co-conspirators, died off. And God, as I quote in Numbers, what it says is, God caused the earth to open her mouth and swallow him and all that were connected to them. Now, I don't know if God truly did that or if it just happened and these people died and Moses won. But at any stake, this bad guy challenged Moses, and the five daughters knew that even his descendants would still receive the promised land. So, these women found their courage. Together, they spoke up and approached Moses with this issue of inheritance, which was not covered previously in any of the existing codes in the Torah. The women speak up. Now, I love listening to people speak up. I love listening to people speak and share their stories, share meaningful things, or just speak out. Now, one way that I hear these stories is by listening to the Moth Radio Hour on podcast. I love the Moth. Yeah, some of y'all listen to it too. It's just regular people like you and me sharing meaningful life stories. I heard one a while back by Renee Watson, and she titled it A Time to Speak. She shares about a situation that occurred to her in fifth grade. Now, like many black kids in the school where she was, they adored Martin Luther King Jr. She shares that at her church, his picture was on the fans that women fanned themselves with. They used to have pictures of him on the walls at home as if he was a family member of them. He was just held up in such esteem. And then when it came to MLK Day, all the kids in school wanted to read out loud that paragraph in their textbook about Martin Luther King Jr. Except for this one girl named Jennifer. Now, Jennifer, you see, in her class had this history of provoking the other black students. Actually, Jennifer wasn't black herself. But their former teacher, Renee shares, would set this girl straight. She would pull her out into the hallway, have a discussion with her, bring her back in, and the teacher taught that they were to love everyone and to encourage the students to all do that same thing. Unfortunately, this teacher had to leave midway through the school year, and so they got a new teacher. Now, this new teacher, he attacked the children's Christian beliefs, leaving the students with the notions that their mamas and their daddies and their grandparents and their aunties and uncles, that they were all wrong in their belief system. Renee says, "Who does he think he is to tell me that God is not real?" So, the class, they got to be rather discouraged by this teacher, and they decided to all band together and to not answer any of his questions that he proposed in class. Some of Renee's classmates also mastered the art of spitballs. Yes, so every time the teacher turned around on the chalkboard, they'd pick up the straw and shoot a spitball at him. Well, that didn't go over so well, as you can imagine. The teacher had no idea who was doing it. But then Jennifer blurts out, "It's them, it's them, it's them!" Well, now she had done it. The boys, who was the them, decided there was gonna be a fight after school. But before the fight could happen, the boys were suspended from school, which they didn't think was too bad, really, because they had to miss school. So no fight ever happened. Then a few days later, Jennifer did the unthinkable. The class was learning about MLK Day, and Jennifer yells out, "I don't get it. What's the big deal, and why do we have to celebrate his birthday?" Oh, now she's really done it. The students waited to see what the teacher would do, how he would respond. Would he take her out into the hallway like their old teacher had? Nothing happened. Then rumors started flying around the school that Jennifer hated black people, that she believed slavery should never have ended, etc., etc. Rumor after rumor kept building. And there was gonna be a fight. So when school ended that day, the bells rang. Renee, the storyteller of our story here, she headed home while the others went running to the park for the fight. Instead of trying to stop them, Renee did not do anything. She didn't tell a teacher. She didn't yell for them to come back. Instead, Renee turned the other way. The next day at school, the principal calls Renee into the office. Now, the principal sees Renee as a leader in the fifth grade, and she hopes that Renee will share what happened or why the students wanted to fight in the first place. But Renee remained silent. Renee did not say anything. And Jennifer did not return to school. Renee says, "I have to believe my silence is harmful. And the thing I learned in the fifth grade is that the voice is powerful. It's a mysterious thing because even when it is silent, it can still be heard." Often we don't speak up because we're afraid or because we're even not sure what to say. Maybe we know what we should say, but we think someone else can say it better. Or maybe we know what we should say, but we're really not even sure how to say it. Whatever the reason is, we sometimes don't speak up. It takes courage to listen and then speak up. Now, you notice in Scripture, those five sisters, they came together and they used each other for strength and for courage. As theologian Anastasia Boniface Maul states, the Hebrew word translator approach suggests that the women acted with courage and determination. It shows the courage of these five sisters as they took their own case before the authorities in the culture in which women were expected to submit to custom. Moses listened to the sisters' case and then took it to God. Then God told Moses that the women were right. Speaking up can change situations, not just for us, but for also all the other people who surround us. What the daughters knew, it started off as a family issue because of a divine stipulation for the benefit of all and for all generations to come. They used their life-transforming experience to redefine the legal system of women with regards to land inheritance, and that improved everyone's welfare. These women may have drawn on some of this courage from their solidarity together, because they must have known that they had to work together in order to change the system. We too are called to the action of speaking up. Speaking up when we hear or see injustice. Speaking up when someone is being wronged. Speaking up for ourselves. And speaking up so that we do not miss a moment. And so when we do speak, it should always be done after thoughtful listening and by speaking the truth with love and kindness, so that we can be and do, as Don Jose Ruiz says, so that we can be impeccable with our word. So today, my friends, may you be brave and find your voice. May you choose to move from a place of safety to a place of exposure. May you choose to not stay invisible, but rather become visible. May you choose exposure instead of safety, and may you move from a place of silence to a place of speaking. After all, it is Renee Mattson who said, "The voice is powerful. It is a mysterious thing because even when it is silent, it can still be heard." May it be so. Amen. Please join us in singing "Help Us Accept Each Other," number 487 in the chalice and on our screen.